Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, packed on a Tuesday. Can't wait for today's show. Great night's sleep, ready to roll. Don't even need a Red Bull. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in L.A. Yes, our set, FS1, is amazing. Nice job, everybody, on that. The Halloween look, it is Thursday. I am dressing up again as a respected newsman. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me as always. 1 hour from now, our Herd hierarchy. Our Herd hierarchy, top 10 teams. It's getting very, very interesting in the NFL. Cowboys are better than you think. Getting very interesting. Joy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm actually very interested to see who you have at the top of your hierarchy. It's a point of contention around the NFL right now. It's very close.
It is very close, and there's skeletons all over our set. So if you're listening to us, turn to FS1. Our crew just did a remarkable job here on Halloween week. Also today, we got Jay Glazer and Peter Schrager. We got NFL trade deadline, so we'll be all over that stuff. There's rumors flying this morning. Nothing can be substantiated, but we'll start with this, though, is that the NBA season's, you know, it's about a week old, and one of my contentions is the Westbrook-Harden thing is going to be incredibly rocky. And because, and for obvious reasons, two guards, profoundly gifted, great scorers, ball-centric guys. Now, through three games, we're already seeing a pattern. Westbrook, 24 points, not shooting threes, 50% from the field, has been terrific. Harden is struggling. Off ball more. Three-point shooting, 15%. From the field, 28%. So you go ahead and say, Colin, Westbrook is the man. Doesn't matter. For this to work, they both have to work in unison. So last night, Westbrook played very, very well. His 29-9-9 played very well. Houston wins. Struggled ugly early, but won. And Westbrook, again, was very good. Of course he is, because he is good. But there is a reason when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson emerged as a great backcourt. You had to go back to 1972 to find a comparable backcourt, Jerry West and Gail Goodrich, where two scorers work together. Because in the history of the NBA, that's not how you build a franchise. If you go look at how the Lakers' great teams, Kobe was the man at guard. Derek Fisher was a clear two. Okay, Derek Fisher was smart. I'm going to make Kobe my best friend. When Magic was running the show, Byron Scott, Norm Nixon early, clear number twos. Michael Jordan's great teams, Paxson, Kerr, Ron Harper, Michael gets the ball always. Magic gets the ball always. Kobe gets the ball always. That's why if you look at the history of the NBA, a great point guard and a center, Magic and Kareem get you titles. Tony Parker and Tim Duncan get you titles. Or Kobe, a two guard. Michael, a two guard. Even Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen wasn't a guard. He was a wing guy. He was the Robin to Batman. The issue here is you got to go back to the 70s to find guards that work. And people say, Steph and Klay. Time out. It's different. Klay Thompson is what they call a catch-and-shoot guard. Klay Thompson scored 60 points, his best NBA game. He had 11 dribbles that night. I'm not joking. Look it up. 11 dribbles. That's called half a possession for Westbrook and Harden, okay? They're different players. Not all guards are the same. So Steph and Klay work because one is a catch-and-shoot guard. But you had to go back to the 70s to find a prototype backcourt where you're like, oh, two guards score, because people don't build teams this way. So what you're seeing already in Houston is Westbrook, who's not a catch-and-shoot guard. The weakness to his game is shooting. The strength to his game is ball handling, energy. He's a remarkable Tasmanian devil of an athlete. I mean, just like he's an uncontrollable talent, sometimes an out-of-control talent. And Harden, now, if you watch him play, is better served off the ball because James can really shoot. But can you convince James? Okay. You know those MVPs and stuff? Yeah, you change your style. That's going to – we'll win more, but that – you know, now you're going to have to go over and it kind of be Westbrook running the show, and you'll be the slot receiver. You know, he'll throw it to you occasionally, but he'll – well, good luck making that work. Now, it looks like that's the way it should work. Westbrook, no threes. Westbrook, huge energy. Draws people to him. Harden outside shoot would be better. But you can tell from James shooting, he's struggling with this combo meal. It's not quite working for him. Now, I had a friend last night that was at the game, and he said it's just an interesting watch. It's incredibly clunky. As of course, it's very, very early. But something is emerging that Westbrook, no threes with the ball, feeding Harden would be ideal early. The question is, and it sounds simple because you could win that way, would James be okay with it? I think that's tough. And there's a reason Steph and Clay were the first great backcourt scoring duo we all thought of since 1972 and 73. It's just not an ideal way to win titles in the league. All right, let's go to this. It's trading deadline stuff. We'll be all over this. Peter Schrager, Jay Glazer, both here. So, trouble in Cleveland. So, Odell Beckham, after they lost to New England, didn't like his targets, didn't like his production. Odell Beckham talked about it in the locker room after losing to New England.
We didn't challenge as much as we could have. I think we kind of shied away from it. I was expecting and looking forward to it, but that wasn't the case today. We had a couple plays, but you know, for whatever reason, we didn't do as much challenging as the matchups that we all talked about.
Oh, that's not great. That's not what a Patriot would do after a loss. Blame the coach. Freddie Kitchens had no time for it and no patience for it and addressed it yesterday.
Odell had 7 balls thrown to him. He caught 5 of them. I'm not responding to that. We need to win a football game. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, that was a little clunky. USA Today came out today and gave percentages on who to blame. And so it's time for another edition of the Herd's Blame Pie. We love bakery. We love pastries on this show. We do. We have pastries all over our office every morning. Joy's laughing. We enjoy pastries on this show. We've got scones and we've got...
It is a daily self-battle with you whether you're going to have a scone.
I like pastries are bad for you and we have them all over the office. So I am going to do another edition of the Cowherd Blame Pie. And I think there's 3 people to blame here. And let's divvy up the pieces. 75% front office, 12.5% Baker Mayfield, and 12.5% Freddie Kitchens. I could crush Baker Mayfield this season. And by the way, you Brownie fans, if Baker had as many touchdowns as picks and it was all reversed, you would be all over my Twitter account. But you're all hiding now. I could drop the anvil on your organization. I could hammer Baker Mayfield. He's been atrocious. But I'm not going to. This organization, this general manager, who Kansas City ran out of town, has quite an ego. He hired a head coach who had never even been a full-time coordinator, who nobody would have offered a head coaching job to. He did it so he could control him. So Freddie Kitchens, who was a position coach, emergency, elevated briefly to the coordinator, was given an NFL franchise, would not even have interviewed for that job. Then they add OBJ, to say the least, an incredibly challenging personality for a rookie head coach. In the process of that, they traded away the first or second best offensive lineman to protect a young quarterback. Isn't that the opposite of what Chris Ballard, the GM for the Colts, believes in? Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, smart guy, believes in? Yes, Freddie Kitchens gets 12.5% of the heat. He's learning on the job. Situationally, he appears to be sometimes a little lost, a little over his skis. But do you blame the guy who for the first time in his life is given a seven-figure opportunity. Should he have said no? Good luck with that. 99% of the world never gets a seven-figure offer. You just take it. You just take it and you figure it out as you go. Now, I do think situationally, he's been in the NFL for 15 years. He's not great situationally. And I do think Baker Mayfield deserves 12.5% of the blame. Way too cocky, way too much noise, put unbelievable targets on all these players' backs. And I thought, honestly, he wasn't bad against New England. I think in a couple of games, you know, Seattle, he was atrocious. He lost the Seattle game, so he gets 12.5%. But this morning, I could clobber Baker Mayfield. This is not on him. This is not on Baker Mayfield, and it's not on Freddie Kitchens. And I don't know John Dorsey, and I bet I'd like him. But he hired a coach he could control. I've worked at companies that have done that. It's always a disaster. You hire somebody who challenges you, who may be smarter than you, who you can trust, and you can't control. If you're hiring a head coach you can control, you're hiring a head coach who needs the job. You can't fully control Bill Belichick. He'll bark back at you at a meeting. Andy Reid will have an opinion in a meeting. Sean Payton's got an opinion in a meeting. Okay, you don't want to Pete Carroll's got an opinion in a meeting. Freddie Kitchens is not going to talk back. This, again, is about the structure, which is below average. On a day I could hammer Baker, the Browns, this is on the front office. And from day one, I said, Baker is not talented enough to overcome dysfunction. Deshaun Watson is. They've had plenty of it. Baker's not Deshaun Watson, who, for the record, the Browns could have picked the previous year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Steelers played last night, beat Miami, a wildly competitive football game for three quarters. Mason Rudolph heard boos, got his act together, made a couple of throws. I think it's really important. This has happened in my life before, and I think if I ran a company, this is something I would constantly, every 6 months, every year, be asking all my lieutenants, all the people running my company, what are we and where are we going? What are we today and what are we going to be tomorrow? And I watch the Pittsburgh Steelers and I don't love either answer. What are they? They got talented players, but they're not special at quarterback. Mason Rudolph's not special. He's a guy and Big Ben is old. What are you? The AFC has a new standard at quarterback. And stop using Brady. Big Ben's not Brady. The new standard is Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and to a lesser degree, Lamar Jackson. Unique talent. Playmaking talent. Save bad play talent. Stuff you can't teach talent. And excellent leadership abilities. That's the new standard. The Chargers have been in their building last couple of years, very reluctant, walking on eggshells. What do we do with the Philip Rivers thing? We're moving to L.A. Philip doesn't want to move his family to L.A. He's old. He's unathletic. What do we do? They don't feel special, the Chargers at quarterback. And with an average O-line, and almost all NFL offensive lines are average, the Chargers don't feel special at the most important position. The New York Giants for years, walking on eggshells, wouldn't go out and get a unique, special athlete at quarterback. And behind an average offensive line, the Giants felt at a deficit at quarterback. The league is changing. The world is changing. Mason Rudolph's not a special player. He's a player. And at quarterback, if you look at the AFC standard, and it's not going away, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's Deshaun Watson, and I think to a lesser degree, I don't put him near this category, but it's Lamar Jackson. Oh, my Lord, he's faster than our linebackers. Oh, wow, he made something out of nothing. So what are the Steelers today? Not special at the most important position. And where are they going? Bringing old Big Ben back. It feels very New York Giants. It feels very L.A. Chargers. It feels very, do we roll the dice? Do we hit the reset button? I mean, listen, Big Ben is not Brady, so stop it. He's not aging like Brady. He's banged up again. And by the way, Miami and Cincinnati, both in the AFC, are going to get new mobile, fresh quarterbacks. So this is not a trend that's it's ending. I just watched the Steelers last night, and I kept going back up. Who are they and where are they going? I don't really like the answer to either. Remember, the NFL does not reward nostalgia. Ever. It does not reward nostalgia. You got to be ahead, not behind. Hey, Kansas City was getting to the playoffs with Alex Smith. Andy Reid's like, we got to get better. Hey, Alex Smith is not beating Tom Brady. We got to get special. Baltimore was winning a bunch of games with Joe Flacco. We got to get different. We got to get special. I mean, again, Houston was winning their division before Deshaun Watson. We got to get special. What are the Steelers? Where are they going? What are they? What are they going to be? I just felt like a big mad burger to me last night.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
When Kevin Durant chose Brooklyn over Golden State, I said, I think it's a colossal mistake. It's not about the cities, and it's not about the laundry, and it's not about anything other than Golden State is an A-plus structure. And remember, Kevin Durant is a wanderer. It's his personality. He admits that. Those close to him admit it. He's a wanderer. And sometimes with wanderers, it's your natural inclination to move, even when you get incredible support, which he had in Golden State. So this story comes out yesterday. Kyrie Irving's mood swings are, quote, unspoken concern and making the Nets queasy. We're three games in. When Kevin Durant left Golden State, San Francisco area, Oakland area, for Brooklyn, New York, you think big city to big city. What always bothered me wasn't the laundry, is that he really chose Kyrie Irving over Steph Curry as your co-star. So Steph is mature, an adult, kind of a low drama, kind of an underwhelming personality. Stable, family man, doesn't need validation, grew up with a very, very strong support system, incredibly adaptable and easy to coach. The best co-star in the NBA. Kyrie is moody, needs the ball. The world is flat. More than a handful of stories about kind of a bizarre personality. You know, can be a little more difficult to coach, certainly than Steph. And there is some drama in his life. Drama with LeBron. Drama with Brad Stevens. So Kevin Durant's not about the laundry. He chose, as a co-star, Kyrie, much more dramatic, seeking validation, tougher to coach. Now, they both have injuries, and they're both better with the ball. And they're both great shooters. There are some similarities. But I think Kyrie is more difficult to play with. He's got a different personality. I don't think he's as stable. I don't think he's as adult as Steph Curry. And I think Kevin Durant made a massive mistake, and I think a lot of it is based on his personality. I don't know Kevin Durant, but he's a wanderer. We've heard that over and over. And you know, in some of you are watching and some of you are listening on the radio, some of you have personalities where, you know, you're never satisfied. You know, maybe it's from your family structure as a kid, whatever. I'm not a sociologist, but you're a wanderer. And even when people put their arms around you, like Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Bob Myers, even when they put their arms around you, we always kept saying, why isn't he happy? Well, I don't understand it. And maybe it's in his personality. He's just a natural mover. He's never going to, you know, put his feet down here. He grew up in D.C. He went to Texas. In Texas, he went to Seattle. Then he went to Oklahoma. Then he went to Golden State. Now he's out in Brooklyn. And I think in a couple of different areas, he's gotten great support, and he's never felt loved. I mean, Oklahoma, he just didn't feel like he was getting the love. And over in Golden State, I think deep down, he didn't feel like it was his team, even though, God, if you're an NBA guy and you're a scorer, you drive to the arena every night with Golden State, and you know you don't have to drop 30. You can because you're the best player on the team, but you don't have to. And I think this Kyrie thing, I think this is a mess. And I think if you look in the history of the NBA, you know, you can make a lot of moves. And I always support player mobility. Find me the star that left a dynasty with 4 years left in it. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. I mean, you know, when LeBron left Miami, he felt like Wade and Bosch were getting old. I got it. When he left Cleveland, he was over Dan Snyder and J.R. Smith. I got it. I get when stars leave, but Magic Johnson didn't leave the Lakers with 4 years left in it. Scottie Pippen came back to the Bulls because they had three more rings. I think KD made a mistake, and now we're starting to hear three games in. Kyrie's difficult. Of course he is. He left Brad Stevens and LeBron.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Kansas City. I actually thought their loss to Aaron Rodgers was really competitive without Patrick Mahomes. Structurally, I love them. GM's an A, coach an A, playmakers are an A. Even defensively, where they've got their issues, they're fifth in sacks, so they make plays defensively. So this is an organization that's going to be fine. They had a bizarre number of injuries early in the season. It happened, but they're not a man overboard. They're losing some home games. They're fine in their division where Denver's a mess. The Chargers are uneven, and I don't trust the Raiders. So Kansas City, to me, get Mahomes back, probably back soon. They're going to go on a streak. When you got a great coach, great playmakers, good GM, and you get to the quarterback, fifth in sacks, you're fine.
Number 9.
LA Rams are quietly very interesting now. Offensive line getting healthier, hasn't surrendered a sack in 2 weeks. By the way, they're fourth in the NFL in passing. Sean McVay knows how to build a passing game. Deepest receiving core in the league. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and Josh Reynolds is easily the best four receiver in the league. And Robert Woods or Cooks are easily the best number three receiver in the league. The offensive line is healthier. McVay may get beat within his own division by Pete Carroll and Shanahan, but he's 10-0 in his career against the AFC. They're getting healthy. Gerald Everett at tight end's another nice piece. This is a passing offense now more than a running offense. They look pretty good right now, Rams at 9.
Number 8.
Minnesota Vikings. Listen, are they good enough to get to a conference championship? Yes. I think there's some fool's gold here. Even against Washington, when you put them in a primetime game, they shrink. They struggled beating the Redskins with a backup quarterback and a backup coach 19-9. But they're third in total offense. They're third in rushing. They've got playmakers on the perimeter. Their defense goes three. Their safeties are great. Their corners are good. Their linebackers can run, and they get after the quarterback. That is hard to do in the NFL with a salary cap. When you have great players on all three levels of their defense, they do. And two star receivers and a star back. But I do think the offensive line is shaky. I wouldn't be shocked if they made a trading deadline move on their O-line, and I don't trust Kirk Cousins in a big spot.
Number 7.
Baltimore Ravens, hard to prepare for. In the new collective bargaining, you don't play in pads and hit much in practice, and the first time you face Baltimore, that is a physical offense. Very difficult to prepare for. First in the NFL in rushing, second in total offense. And Lamar Jackson may have limitations, but can I remind you, he is quarterbacked in 14 games. He's 11-3. He wins a lot. Now, Tebow won games. But when I watch Lamar Jackson, as long as his receivers can catch, he had a lot of drops so far this year. He's not going to be great trailing by two touchdowns late. But don't tell me he can't throw. He can make specific throws with those big tight ends and speedy receivers. Baltimore at 7.
Number 6.
Houston. I always worry about their offensive line. J.J. Watt's out for the year. But here's an interesting number. We tend to bail on the Texans because, you know, historically in the playoffs, they disappoint us. But Deshaun Watson has gotten off to slow starts in his career. He's only 4-7 in September. But he is 15-5 in all the other months. So there's this thing with Houston. Like, they start slow and they don't end the way we like. But if you start looking at what they do, 20 games, they've won 15, and this is the time for the next 7 weeks, they're an incredibly tough out. I don't love them situationally at head coach. They don't have a GM. But when they're healthy on the offensive line with Deshaun, they have a real running game. I think they're tough to stop.
Number five.
Dallas Cowboys. Okay, first of all you critics, you do get there situationally better than you think. They lead the NFL, not just in offense, but in third down offense. What does that mean? They're pretty well coached. On third down, it's not man overboard. They're smart situationally. They also, here's another one, for all the people that bang on Jason Garrett, and I know he can be a little flat. They lead the NFC in fourth quarter point differential. This is a team that's very good on third down, very good late in games, very good situationally. They added Michael Bennett. That's a sack or two, right? When their offensive line is healthy and Amari Cooper is healthy, this is a top 5-6 team in the NFL. I've got them at five.
Number four.
Green Bay. Now, their defense is good, but it's not dynamic. They're middle of the pack in sacks. They're very turnover dependent. And when teams like Philly don't give them a turnover, they can sit and get pushed around. I don't think it's a great defense. I think it's an improved defense and an opportunistic one. They have not given up more than 24 points once. But again, sacks, they don't scare you. I mean, it seemed to me Matt Moore looked really comfortable for Kansas City for three quarters. But Aaron Rodgers is on fire, 75% completion rate, 8 TDs, no picks. Last two games, Aaron's hot, Aaron's happy. The Packers are good, number four.
Number three.
Next three teams have defenses. New England. Now you're saying, Colin, New England, they should be number one. Here's what I saw against Cleveland. Their offensive line lost a lot of individual battles to the Browns' defensive line, and the Patriots' defensive line lost a lot of individual battles to the Browns' offensive line. I thought Cleveland's O-line had a very, very good day outside of the butt fumble play when they just, you know, blew up a kind of a clever play. Now, they are the first team in the Super Bowl era halfway through a year to be averaging 30 and giving up only 10. Some of that is they've just played young quarterbacks, Darnold, Baker, just kids. But I didn't love their line play this weekend. I still think they don't have a tight end that can be dynamic, and they have no vertical passing game, and I think Brady has looked flat.
Number two.
Saints. Fourth in third down defense, second in rush defense. The story on this is not Drew Brees. It's not. We saw Drew left, they went 5-0. The story on this, it's a really good defense. They stop you on third down. They get you off the field. They get the ball back to their running game. I mean, they've won without Drew Brees. They've won a game without Alvin Kamara. That's not what you – this Saints team is not what you think they're billed as. You know, it's all offense. They don't throw the ball vertically. This is a really good defense that in spots gets after the quarterback. You can't run on them. They get you off the field in third down. And, oh by the way, they have a Hall of Fame – first ballot quarterback and a brilliant offensive coach with an elite receiver and an elite back. But I think their defense is really the leader of this team, not Drew Brees.
Number one.
I mean, my eyes tell me San Francisco is the most dynamic team up front defensively and the most dynamic team offensively. And what's interesting, they're a little contrarian to what you believe. Now, we think it's Kyle Shanahan. Never forget his dad was a pound the football dad. So they lead the NFL in rushing, not they are 57.5% of the time they run the ball. That's the highest percentage in the NFL. So and this has been without both of their offensive tackles. They have not been healthy. This has been, you can't lose both tackles, right? It submerges the offense. Not here. First in defense, first in pass defense. They're also the least penalized team in the league. So I get a smart team, which is remarkable because their defense average is 25 years old. Cleveland's young, it's penalties everywhere. This team young, there's penalties nowhere. San Francisco, Herd Hierarchy, number one team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Jay Glazer doesn't have to use shampoo.
Where do I get some of this?
You don't have to. It's what a great life. You yes. Shower and just leave, and you don't have to do any of the nonsense.
Well, I don't really shower.
Well, okay. Well, that's that part.
But I never need, you know, whenever I travel, yeah, it's not like I need carry-on. I don't need hair care products. I'm good. When I do my 40-day training camp tour, I just have carry-on. I don't, nothing. 40 days.
You bald guys have
it's
all the
break. We have it all.
All right. So let's. So
and first, I'm short, so my clothes are smaller than everybody else's. So we're good.
So you broke the story on Leonard Williams. Right. Congratulations on Fox Sunday. Leonard right. Williams, by the way, the Jets now, there's another story that you were praying that didn't come out before you hit the show because you had it.
Yeah, just Leonard Williams. I mean, Leonard Williams.
Jamal Adams.
Jamal Adams. He's on the trade block. And I know it's been reported out there that they're talking to the Cowboys. They're talking to several teams for Jamal Adams right now. And the draft, the compensation is a 1+, and a 1+, a pretty good pick.
A one and a third, maybe?
Yeah, it's something like, you know, 1-4. But it's probably going up. It's guys like this, I mean, he's a baller. He's a player. And I think that, you know, you and I were just talking about off the air. These teams in the 20s, why not make a run for a guy that you know you're
getting? 20s in the draft.
Right, you know where you're getting. First-round picks these days are such a crapshoot as it is. You know you're getting. That's why the Cowboys, when they did Amari Cooper, were like, all right, for the most part, you guys are going to pick in the 20s, and you know that you're even like the Rams with Jalen Ramsey, pick will end up being the 20s. They're hoping in the 30s. And it's, you know, we know the guy we're getting.
Yes.
We're in the first round. You just – draft picks, it's such a crapshoot. So, Jamal Adams, look, he's on the trade block where they're listening, and there's heavy talks right now with the Cowboys and other teams as well. Robbie Anderson, receiver, speed receiver. Teams are talking about that. Le'Veon Bell, I know there was talked about like Philadelphia. That's not going to happen. I know the Chiefs have been kind of linked to it. Let's see. I know they're in heavier talks right now for Jamal than anything else. But you know, why not load up on picks?
And this is, you know, let's stay with the Cowboys for a second, because you and I were talking about this. Jay Glazer is joining us, owner Unbreakable Performance Center, The Athletic, obviously on Fox. And days like today, you are so invaluable. That the Cowboys are getting to a point that they're so talented at key positions, Jay, not a lot of these draft picks can make the Cowboys.
Right.
So if they did get Jamal Adams, would they, because the Jets, none of this stuff works in New York without an offensive line. The Jets right. offensive line oh. is a sieve. 8 sacks oh. for Darnold. What's that look in your face?
Yeah, no. I agree with you. The
offensive line.
That was it.
So Dallas, if Dallas could give the Jets what they want, a first and a third, can you mention another team that's in on Jamal Adams, or is that a no-no?
Not yet, because I don't want to ruin it for them.
Oh, is it a big team?
It's a big team, yeah. So I don't want to ruin
with
it.
With a G
I
on their helmet or something like what? That.
I'm going to go through the alphabet. I just want to screw it up for them.
Jamal Adams is from the Dallas area, by the way.
I know, and he's saying he wants to go there, and I get it. And yeah, but that's there's other teams that are involved.
okay. So you broke
the letter. We were here on the show. Was it last year?
Yeah, you broke it last year.
When we had the Honey Badger got released.
That's right.
2 years ago, right at the end here. It's
okay, good. So let me throw another one out. Trent Williams is a 7-time Pro Bowler in 9 years. Got all sorts of dog in him. Washington wants to move him.
Washington should have tried to move him before this, well before this, because now all these other teams like Houston, who was looking for a tackle, it's harder to get these deals done, believe it or not, at the trade deadline, because you know you got a gun to your head and you got to move fast
right.
on this. They really had a much bigger market earlier, and they dug their heels in on Trent Williams, and I don't get why. I think in their mind they're like, okay, if we don't trade him now, then we'll get something in the offseason for him. But, man, listen, it's the Redskins. I don't understand why they do the business they do, and I think most of us in the league kind of will back me up on that.
Okay. Let me talk about two teams that are interesting. The Philadelphia Eagles do some things well. They I think they're a run downhill, throw to the tight end on play action team. They could use some speed outside. DeSean Jackson's older and injuries. Robbie Anderson of the Jets. Yep. Do you think Philadelphia makes a move in the next several hours?
Philadelphia was trying. They were swinging away. Their GM, Howie Roseman, he tries to swing away, and he called everywhere and was trying.
They don't have a lot of money.
I just talked to some people in Philly. They're like, hey, we're trying. It's going to take a lot right now. Don't see it happening. But they were trying. They were really trying to bring in a playmaker for that team on at corner, at receiver, everything. They were trying.
Okay. New England, offensive line issues. Right. Would they at all be in the Trent Williams sweepstakes?
I don't know if they'd be in the Trent Williams sweepstakes, but I know that even though they got Mohamed Sanu, they were still looking for help at receiver.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting how much they have been in it for receivers the last couple of years. I mean, they tried to trade for Randall Cobb last year, 2 years ago. I forget what it was. And obviously we've seen how much the Josh Gordon, the ABs.
Is N'Keal Harry a bust?
No, I don't think he's a bust at all. I think he's just, look, that place is different. That place, you've got to, it's like week to week, the way they game plan, you got to know, you've got to be smarter than every team in the league because they make you learn new stuff every single week. So, no, he's not a bust at all. He hadn't played much at all. He's been hurt.
The new GMs in this league are movers and shakers. I'm going to throw a couple things out to you. Is that
the new GMs or the?
Well, I mean, the Les Sneeds, the Howie Rosemans.
They're not so new. Oh, yeah, the John Schneiders will do it.
Is there a? Do you believe? Take out Trent Williams.
Right.
Take out Jamal Adams. Do you think there's another player going to get moved today? A big move.
You know, it's actually quieter than I thought. I think because these guys have already been moved, right? The Jalen Ramsey of the world and Minka Fitzpatrick's and
Mohamed Sanu.
Right, Sanu's and the Sanders and the Marcus Peters, guys like that, you know, they did it already. So I think this trade month has been big, but it didn't. It's already been done.
Okay.
So is there another guy? I mean, Jamal's a big name. There is. Look, I said on Sunday that teams were calling about DeAndre Hopkins. And then immediately when everybody went crazy, like, oh, my gosh, he's on the trade block. No. Teams are calling them about DeAndre Hopkins. And then it started really kind of percolating and more teams started calling about DeAndre Hopkins. I even got a call from Hopkins. Am I on the trade block? I'm like, no. You're not on the trade block. It's the other way. Teams are calling them, trying to see if they could pry away. And it's he would have been a big name, but he's not. They're basically shutting guys down.
Okay.
They need to get blown out of the water.
Okay. Gut feeling on Jamal Adams, Cowboys. Gut feeling.
Gut feeling he'll be traded here. Not, I don't know about the Cowboys. Because, again, there's teams in it. There's teams in it right now. It could, but because they have more than one trade partner, they're just playing everybody against each other right
is
now.
Is the team not?
Just stop asking me until I'll get you. I'll let you. I will text it. I will direct. I will DM you. I will slide into your DMs and tell you.
Okay. I want to ask you two macro topics on the NFL because you're good at this stuff.
Yeah.
I think you have to give Freddie Kitchens support. You got to give him 30 games in this league.
How do you got to give him support? They got him this entire roster. They give him autonomy over there.
So do you think he's in trouble after the year if they don't make the playoffs?
I think he needs to make some changes. Look, here's the thing. I think Freddie Kitchens over there, they needed to stop. And even in camp, I'm like, you guys got to stop buying into your hype. Because it's going to go sideways fast, and all of a sudden you're not playing well, and teams are going to put a target on him. But he also talks about too many other teams. Don't worry about other teams. Worry about yourself. Worry about your own house. And he doesn't do that enough, right? So, yeah, and I think you got to develop this quarterback. You got to develop the quarterback. He's not the guy to develop the quarterback. So it's
is he in trouble?
I don't know if he's in trouble. Let's see what happens the rest of the season. I don't know if he's in trouble.
But he's lost.
But he needs to stop being such a tough guy out there. And, you know, he's always talking about other teams and the play. Like, stop. He was always like a jolly, fun dude when he was a running back coach. Great. You kind of need to be that guy. You could still, you know, you could still have presence by being that guy.
Well, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Has there been, when you look at this league, I feel like there's – we kind of feel like San Francisco, New Orleans, New England, you know, Green Bay. I want to throw something out to you. Now, it's not going to happen, but I said, Teddy Bridgewater's contract runs out at the end of the year.
Right.
This is Drew's team again.
Yep.
It's over. Teddy's time is done.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago Bears, stop fooling yourself. Mitch is the fourth best quarterback in that division.
Yeah, I think they need to.
Chicago.
I think Chicago. People said, is it time to move on from Trubisky? You can't. They put too much into him right now. You really got to ride and die and see. Is this a slump? Can we build them up? Like, that entire organization hits themselves to that wagon. You can't bail out until every wheel has fallen off. Like, you've got to really exhaust it all. You have to. You've put too much into him.
So you're basically telling me I'm going to have the fourth best quarterback in this division rest of the way.
And you got to make him. Look, last year, he showed a lot of promise. The offseason, supposedly he took huge steps forward, and then the season started and he didn't. They got to figure out why. They got to figure out, is it him? Is it us? Are we not putting him in the best position? Is he just not as talented as we thought we were? Something. You could cover up a lot for quarterbacks, and but they can't bail on him now, man. They can't. They've done too much to make it his team.
All right. Go to your phone really quickly for our radio audience. What time's the trading deadline?
4 p.m. Pacific, an hour and a half.
You're not going to give me any specifics on Jamal Adams.
Right.
But if I said to you, the other
teams, that's the thing.
other teams. Does one of them rhyme with Wanzas City Meats?
That's not the team I'm talking about.
Because no. I tell you, boy, Kansas City would be fun with him.
And the Chiefs, I think, will be in it for certain things here also. And that's the thing. They're
Your Chiefs are active? You're telling me that?
No. I'm not saying yes or no. But these are the teams that you want to see active are these teams like the Rams. They swung away because we're close, right? These teams that are close, like you saw the 49ers did it. They think we're close, so we're going to swing away.
New England got Mohamed Sanu.
Right, New England did it. So you're going to see these teams just looking at upper echelon of those teams in there saying, okay, can we it would make sense for them.
Let me throw this out. Cincinnati, A.J. Green. Yeah. You're rebuilding.
I don't understand why they were telling everybody no. I don't get that. They are rebuilding, and they could have gotten an awful lot for him. I don't get why they kind of slammed the door shut to everybody last week. And I don't get that. Same reason I don't get why Washington realized the dude just wasn't ever going to show. They were ripping him. He was ripping them. It's just sometimes it's just time to move on. Yeah, and it should have happened already.
This is very exciting. Very exciting. Okay, does the coach's name rhyme with Mandy Zeed that's working to get Jamal? Can you imagine how good Kansas City would be with Jamal Adams?
Oh, my God, hilarious.
It's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, by the way. I'm sorry about that. Do you realize this is what you do? What you're doing to Jay is what you do at least. He does this once a week on the show, Jay. He'll pick up his phone, and he'll just I'll be talking or something will happen. He'll just stop and just look at his phone.
And
there's a pause like that.
And then I'm
like, what's happening?
And I say,
like, whoa.
I can't go on the air with that.
Whoa. I can't say anything. So now you're getting a dose of your own medicine.
I'm not trying to put him in a compromising position. I've said nice things about his baldness.
Yes, you
I've
have.
Said nice things about Leonard Williams who broke the story.
Right.
All I'm saying is
my
rhyme.
Physique, everything. What else?
Give me a rhyme.
My sexiness overall, yes. Today's been good. Today's been really good.
That's exciting for me. All right, let's let him go and do his job. Follow his Twitter account.
I will text you, though.
Well, can I break it if you tweet it?
Well, no, you can't
well,
break it. I'm
going to
text you, though. I will let you come on first and be like, oh, Jay Glazer's about to break this.
There's no value in it. You giving me here's a piece of candy, Halloween. Okay, that would be like.
So exactly what I just described.
See what I'm trying to do?
I'm
trying to be a team player here and help you out.
How about
I'm being a real friend.
What's about to happen.
I'm being a real friend and you're not being grateful.
No, what you're doing is standing on the porch on Halloween. You want a piece of candy? Yeah. Nope. Just joking. There's a Kit Kat bar.
I'm the parents who give you the pennies.